We're holding him back.
He's going full today. He was just sick. There's a couple guys that were sick that have been in and out. Jordan Matthews was sick. He missed walkthrough yesterday. There's something going around, but we're just getting him back up to speed, but he's full go today.
Michael too? Kendrick's yesterday?
No. They just had a nagging something. They're both back today.
Kiko's
got to go through the injury protocol, the concussion protocol, not the injury protocol, concussion protocol. So he hasn't been cleared yet. So until he's cleared, he'll just be doing exercises with the trainers. I don't even ask on that. They just tell me when he's cleared. So.
Did he have any concussion history?
No, he didn't. So I think they said it was his first. I'm not sure. You got to double check on that. But he didn't have any in Buffalo. So.
Jerome,
Upland, he had appendicitis. Yeah.
How long was that?
I think he'd be back beginning of next week.
So he had an appendectomy?
Yes. He was sick the other day, and stomach was bothering him, and then they said it was appendicitis. So.
With Kiko, do you worry about, given his style of play, seems like a real aggressive type of linebacker, do you worry about that?
No, because he hasn't had a history of it, so we're not worried about it right now. But obviously, any time that word comes up with any player, you'll take all the precautions necessary before you put him back out there. So,
when did Kiko's concussion happen?
I don't know.
Tuesday at the link?
It was at the link, yes. I don't know what specific play, but it was Tuesday at the link.
Is he here or is he home?
He's here. He's been working with the trainers every day, and then they have a whole protocol that they go through and what they're allowed to do. There's exercises, and then there's tests and all those other things. So,
Lane Johnson had a disjointed season last year, obviously. What have you seen this spring, this summer, with full first-team reps all throughout the summer?
Just think he's more consistent. Worked extremely hard this offseason. You know, went to a lot of different places to train. Really settled into where, you know, obviously at this time last year, you know, knew he wasn't going to play in the first four games. Was kind of up and down. You know, Allen got a lot of reps out there, because that was where we were going from that standpoint. So I just think there's a little bit more solidified on that side of the line. Just getting more comfortable with who the tight ends are going to be next to him, what he's going to be doing over there. But I just think there's a lot more consistency in the lane going into year three.
You relied on Todd a lot, obviously, because of Todd's experience. Has that allowed him now, without Todd there, to kind of take a step up?
He didn't play the last eight games with Todd. So I think in his first year, I would say he relied on Todd a lot. But he didn't really play with Todd very much in the second season because Todd got that injury.
Chip, how's it on GJ getting making that transition? How comfortable do you look out there?
I think he looks real comfortable. The one thing about him is he can play a lot of different positions. That versatility, I think, is a benefit to him. He's a lot like Brock Holt for the Red Sox. You can plug him in at a lot of different places. He fit in at running back for us. He could still be an emergency quarterback for us. He's really done a nice job at receiver for us. He's trying to really make a niche for himself on special teams. So, it'll be interesting to see when we get out against the Colts how he fits in.
Beyond the first three running backs, DeMarco, Ryan, and Darren, how's like Mostert and Kenyon Barner? How have they looked?
They're both doing really well. I think that's an interesting, with those two guys. I think with those guys, probably the big decisions will come down from a special team standpoint in terms of being able to contribute. When you get past, your starters at any position, especially the skill positions, it really becomes special team decisions in terms of how they fit in and what they do. But obviously Kenyon has a leg up from an experience standpoint, having been here before. But Raheem has some really good qualities himself. He's extremely fast. I think he was the Big Ten 100, 200-meter champion, so you can kind of see him when he kind of sticks his foot in the ground and gets it to another gear. But I think both of those guys I think we've upgraded really the bottom part of our roster at the running back spot. It'll be interesting to see how that thing plays itself out.
How would you characterize Sam Bradford yesterday at the practice?
I thought Sam had a good practice. I think he's getting more comfortable, the more 11-on-11 he gets and pocket awareness and things like that. But I think that's what we expected, when we traded for him. That's the type of player we saw in film. That's the type of guy that Pat coached when he had him at St. Louis. So, I thought he had a real good day yesterday, and then we got to continue to build on that.
Less.
Let's go, Les.
I'm sorry. With Kenny a while ago, both those positions, running back and wide receiver, there's a fair amount of nuance and detail to actually doing that at an NFL level. Is he picking that up? I mean, is he somebody you could really use in those spots?
He's picked up receiver because that's where he's training mostly. The running back part of it, I think a lot of that comes from his quarterback experience in terms of what he does. But one of the things about GJ that stands out when he was a quarterback is he was a really good runner of the football. You know, so he, you know, when you put him in there, I think he understands how to make people miss. He understands how to set up blocks because that's part of what he did. You know, really, when you go back to what he did in college, he carried the ball a ton in college. So, you know, I think the running back part of it is just he was a running quarterback, so that part's a little probably a little bit easier to transition. The nuances are at the receiver spot, and that's where he does all his training at. So. I know Nick got a new contract. I don't know what it was, but I heard he got a new contract. So.
Wonder what your thoughts on that.
Very happy for him. So, you know, I think things worked out for him, and Nick's an awesome person. You know, first and foremost, and you know, you always get to this league. You always hope you get an opportunity to get to a second contract, and it looks like he did. So.
Until recently, it seemed very hard. It was very difficult for receivers to come into the NFL and contribute in year one. That's not how the numbers bore out. But last year, you had just a remarkable class. It looks like this class is as strong. What is it differently about that position that receivers are able to come in and contribute right away?
I just think they're throwing the ball more at the college level and even more at the high school level. So, you know, a lot of these guys have a ton of experience. Sometimes guys, you don't find out who they are as receivers till maybe their junior, senior year because they got recruited and were playing in different positions in high school. They were high school running backs or defensive backs or even quarterbacks that got converted at the college level to receiver, so they don't really kind of have, you know, to go back on the nuances of playing the position. But a lot of these guys, you know, when you talk to them, they've been playing receiver since they were 12 years old. You know, I think it's a little bit different. Usually, you know, you can go back 15 years ago and the best athletes at the younger level were all playing running back, you know, and then even a lot of those really good receivers in college were running backs in high school. Now, Nelson was a receiver, you know, you look at that, Jordan was a receiver, you know, it's a lot of those guys coming in now have been playing receiver for a long time. So I just think they got a little bit more experience in terms of playing the position.
What have you seen from Malcolm Bunch, and is there anything in particular that's impressed you so far?
Yeah, real good young prospect in the O-line. He's big, he's physical. It's trying to really solidify, and I think with those younger guys, and I think what Stout's doing, moving him around a little bit, he's playing both tackle and guard, which adds to his versatility. But he can move people. He's a big, physical, strong, run-blocking guy. But he does have a good base and knowledge in the pass game. So, you know, he's a guy to keep an eye on. What's that?
More tackle to guard now?
They're all, everybody, if you look at, I think every day they've all played different positions, whether it's Graff, whether it's Kelly, whether it's Vandervelde. Mulca's played a lot of guard. Koch has played a lot of guard. Stout's just continuing to rotate that second and third group, and they're all getting reps at both guard and tackle. Or the guys that are center guards are playing center guard. Well, so Josh Andrew, Kosha, Mulk, Vandervelde are bumping from day to day from center to guard. Dennis Kelly, Graff, Gardner, all those guys are playing guard and tackle.
There's very few guys on the roster that only do one thing. I mean, obviously versatility is good. Does it go deeper than that with you? Is there something?
I just think you have to when you're not the number one. When we play on game day with a 46-man roster, we have seven offensive linemen up. So those two backup offensive linemen have to be able to be, one of them is a center guard guy, the other one's a guard tackle guy. And you don't know what's going to happen in a game. So when someone goes down, we went in our first game against Jacksonville and we lost Evan Mathis. We lost a guard and we lost a tackle. So Moak had to play guard, and I think Gardner came in and played tackle, you know, when Allen went down. But that's just the nature of it. And it's the same thing at any position. If you're a linebacker, we may only keep three outside or we may only keep three inside. If you do that, then that person has to be able to play both inside and outside when they go. The same thing in the secondary. Are you a safety? Are you a corner? Are you an inside receiver? Are you an outside receiver? Unless you're the number one guy, then those guys have to be able to play multiple positions. Just because when you get out there on Sunday and you have a 46-man roster, you don't have too deep at every single position, you know. So you got to kind of make do and just be prepared that if they go, then you got to play guard and tackle, you got to play center and guard, or whatever the position may be.
At Wisconsin, Moffitt played center.
What's that?
At Wisconsin, Moffitt played center.
Yeah, he hasn't done any here. We just got him, and he wasn't here in the spring. We know that's kind of in his back pocket, but we haven't done anything with John. John's probably the guy, except for the starting five, that or the starting four right now, that hasn't played multiple positions. All those other guys have. John, Kelsey, Jason Peters, and Lane have played just one position. So.
Was that something that just came naturally, or did you have to learn? Was there like a trial and error process of getting to the point where you want to...
With anything, there's always a trial, and there's always got to be a first time that you do it, and whether you're riding a bicycle or calling plays or writing an article or whatever, it's just, there's a process in it, and I think there's an experience that's gained through, you know, kind of how you did it. But
Someone you emulated or learned from?
No, I always talked to a lot of different guys, you know, whether it was Dana Bible when he was at Boston College or Sean McDonald, who was the former head offensive coordinator, became a play caller. Gary Croton, you know, there's a lot of different guys that I've had had an opportunity to visit with and talk with about it. So.
You said starting four. When would you like to see one of the guards in that right guard?
When? Today. When? But is
how's that going?
It's an ongoing battle. You know, I mean, if it was today, then we would have had one guy just jump out in the first 4 days of practice and then you could set it. But you always would love to have it done sooner than later, but we also want to make sure it's the right guy and the right fit. So. We're giving everybody ample opportunities. And again, with that, a lot of it, there's a huge difference between our training sessions and a game, you know. So you can get all jacked up about somebody and say, oh, my God, here we go. And then you go out against the Colts and he's not as good as you thought he was. And then someone else really steps up. So, you know, that evaluation won't be made until at least we get a couple games underneath our belt.
How do you weigh that, wanting to develop continuity on the line as far as that?
It doesn't matter what continuity if you have the wrong guy, you know, and that's the bottom line. Everybody feels the same way. You'd love to have everything locked in right now. But if we did and we're locking in the wrong guy, then that doesn't help us as a football team. So the great part of our preseason is it is so long that it will give itself a chance to express itself over that time. You know, you're not making a hasty decision. You know, we're not playing. That game against the Colts isn't counting in the standings. So it's not like, hey, we got a game. You know, we're starting to get into game week next week. Or preseason game, it's not a regular season game. If it was Atlanta, it would be a little bit more difficult. If it was Atlanta, we would have to have it done by this weekend so we can at least get guys going and getting ready to go. So,
what's the tape showing you on how Walter Thurman's doing?
Who? Walter Thurman?
Yeah.
Walt's done a really nice job. I think that transition probably goes back to the fact that he's played inside in nickel and has had a lot of experience inside nickel. So our nickel position is similar to a safety position. He's seen the game from the inside, and I think that's the biggest transition for a corner, because a lot of times when all you've done is play corner, there's always been one guy here and 10 guys in there. You know, when you see you have a different perspective for seeing things, then you bump that guy inside and it's a whole different thing. You're seeing guys out here, you're seeing guys in here. How do you fit? How do you get involved in things? And I think that transition has helped him because of his ability inside, but I think he's done a really good job. When we made the move in the spring, he really stood out for us in his play in the spring, and he's continuing to do the same things here. So,
two more questions. You signed Shady in free agency, had a lot of success in San Diego on special teams. What makes him so good on special teams?
Two?
Yeah.
First off, his length, I think, is one of the things that's kind of unique about him. He's got great flexibility with that length to be able to make people avoid and miss blocks, but he can get extended and make plays. And when you look at his highlight tape of what he did on special teams, he's always kind of getting around a block and can reach and grab people because he's so long, and he can find the football. He's not easily blocked, so he's a great cover guy, whether it be on punt coverage or kickoff cover. So there's a lot of different things there, and I think he understands that his niche getting into the National Football League was, you know, really embracing that role in special teams, and he was a standout player for San Diego. So now it's a combination of this, like I said earlier, if you're not the number one receiver, which he's not, then where do you fit in? What's your versatility? And I think he's shown that so far. So.
Is there anybody you don't expect to practice
with? Copeland and Kiko. That's it. Thank you.